Father in heaven, might our souls ring out with joy on this Christmas morning for what you have given to us in your Son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's a joyous time of year, is it not? And it's exciting to look into the scriptures and find out why this time of year is so joyful. Now, no doubt you've been hearing the Christmas story for years or decades or even for a century and a little bit longer. Nance, welcome. Nance, 103 years old. It's always a blessing to have Nance among us, especially here this morning. But I wonder if you ever have those opportunities where you look into the Bible and you see something new. You're around at Christmas time and you spot something that's a little bit different. I heard a story recently of some Australians who were travelling through the southern states of America. And as they were travelling through, they were looking at the various nativity scenes that were set up as the snow gently drifted down. And they were struck in one particular town where each of the nativity scenes seemed to have something that was a little bit different. They'd certainly spent a lot of time on these nativity scenes, of course. There was Mary and Joseph and the cattle in the shed and the wise men there all dressed up very well. But this is where the similarities ended. For on top of each of the wise men throughout the town were firemen's helmets. Nearly every single nativity scene that these Australians went past in the southern states of America, they spotted these firemen's helmets, and they're scratching their heads wondering, have I not seen this in the Bible before, in the Christmas story? Well, as they went along, they saw somebody that looked like they should know what it's all about. And they spoke to them. They said, look, you'll have to excuse us. We're Australians. And you know how Americans give that knowing sort of a look. Yes. We don't quite understand why all of the wise men have got firemen's helmets on. And this Southern Baptist lady looked at these Australians and said, y'all arsies, you don't read your Bible. She pulled out her Bible from in her bag and she opened it up to where the place was and she pointed it. She said, look, it says here clearly, these wise men, they came from afar. Now, I've been spurred on a little bit by the Christmas cracker jokes, yes. The dad jokes come thick and fast. Collect them up, dads. You'll need them sometime or other. Well, as we look at the story of Christmas, and particularly looking at Matthew's account here, we read the story about the Magi. And there's four unexpected or potentially unexpected things that I'd like to bring to your attention about these wise men. You see, we sing carols about these three. You know the one. We three kings of Orient are. But were there three of them? Or we certainly know that there were three gifts, but maybe there was only one of these people. And was this person actually a king at all? When we look into the Bible, we see it says Magi, which is sort of a shortened version of our name magician. But it doesn't mean somebody who necessarily conjures up spells and the like, but these guys were astrologers. They looked to the stars to see if they could work out what the future would be. They looked for planetary alignments to be able to tell the king, as advisors to the king, here's what we think will happen. These stargazers would look out and try and predict the future, which you would think gives them, again, pardon the dad jokes, stellar credentials for what they were to do in advising the king. Yes, head and hands on that one, I know. But however, as we look at the Bible, we see something that's rather unexpected. Here, these stargazers were the first in Matthew's gospel to proclaim the arrival of the Messiah, the newborn king. And yet back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, speaking after God in chapter 47, calls astrologers, those stargazers who make predictions month by month, wicked and in error, and unable to save the people from calamity. It's unexpected that God would use somebody like an astrologer to be the first people to proclaim that Jesus had been born the King of the Jews. Seeing as he, through his prophet, said, don't trust in astrologers who look to the stars. Instead, look to the one who flung those very stars into space. It is only he, only me, says God, who is the one that sets the times and the seasons and all things as per my plan. It's unexpected that God should use these astrologers to announce the arrival of Jesus. But this is part of God's upside-down economy. God uses the unexpected to point people to Jesus. Now, maybe some of you are astrologers, or maybe astronomers, or maybe finance people, or maybe lawyers. But the concept is still the same, no matter what we do for a living. No matter where our passions lie, God calls each one of us to come to Jesus. Well, that's the first unexpected thing, that God would use an astrologer to point to Jesus. Second unexpected thing is that these astrologers, these wise men, came from the east. You think, well, they've got to come from somewhere, don't they? Yes, but why the east? For anyone who knows their geography around the Middle East, you will know that to the east of Jerusalem was the foreign territories that were typically enemy lands. For hundreds of years, even thousands of years, the Israelites had been fighting against the enemy that was to the east of them. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, Persians, and now they're under the rule of the Romans. You see, Israel had been without a king, that is a unifying king, one king over the whole land, since Solomon died. Now that's been a long time, nearly 1,000 years, of this divided kingdom being ruled over by other kings, and now they were looking forward to their own king's arrival. And it would be the enemy who announced that the King of the Jews had been born. So these wise men from the east, how did they know that this king was going to be born? Or perhaps as we look back through our Bible, throughout our Old Testament, and we see those times where Israel, the Jews, had been captured and sent into exile, say, into Babylon, we get someone like Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? He became a king's advisor. And as a king's advisor, no doubt, he was telling the Babylonians about the expected Messiah that the Jews were looking forward to, that the Israelite nationals were looking forward to their arrival. And no doubt, these wise men of Daniel and his friends would have been engaging with the other king's wise men at the time, explaining to them from the scriptures that here is the one that is to come. And so this had been handed down, I guess, through the Babylonian history to now these astrologers. But it is unexpected that God should use a foreigner from any enemy country to announce the arrival of Jesus. But this too is part of God's upside-down economy. God uses the unexpected to point people to Jesus. And so too today. No matter where we've come from, no matter what country we might call home or our family of origin is from, no matter our political persuasion or our sexual orientation, God calls each one of us to come to Jesus. That was the second unexpected thing about the wise men. The third unexpected thing about these men, for surely it is not natural in a man's character, is that these men asked for directions. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews, they asked. You see, they've been following this star and that has got them as far as Jerusalem, and now they need some finer directions about where exactly this king was. Surely it was in the palace, so they went and they engaged with the palace officials, and the palace officials passed that on to Herod, and Herod got a little bit concerned about this because Herod was a jealous king. In fact, he had murdered his own sons for fear that they were going to usurp him off the throne. That's the sort of king that Herod was. But here in the day before Google Girl gave us directions, before mankind had flung satellites into space to point the way, God pointed the way to Jesus with a star. And we read that the Magi said, "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And here's a bit of a geography and astrology lesson. Who can tell me, maybe one of the kids, which direction does the sun rise from? North, south, east, or west? Any of the kids? Where does the sun rise? A bit of consultation going on here. Help me out. Anyone know? Where does it rise? I heard it. East. That's right. The sun rises in the east, which happens to be that way as well. In fact, if you're sitting in that chair right there, you can see that the sun's rising in the east because it's right in your eyes at the moment, isn't it? Yeah, I can see. It'll come. Start coming a little bit further forward by the end of the service. It'll be in the eyes of the people at the front. So that's right. Just wait a little while. What direction do stars rise in? Anyone help me out with this? A little bit difficult. We know the sun rises in the east, but where do the stars rise from? I heard it whispered. From the east as well. I told you this was going to be a lesson, didn't I? So the sun rises in the east and the star rises. In fact, they don't rise. The earth rotates and we start to see them, right? We get the idea that stars, if the astrologers were watching them, would have risen in the east. So work this one out. If the astrologers are in the east and we know that they go west to Jerusalem, how is it that this star that they followed was not in the east when it rose, but in the west when it rose? This is unusual, that a star should rise from the west, and unexpected. Furthermore, we read later on in Matthew chapter 2 that the star reappeared to these magi over the place where Jesus was, and it did what? Stopped and stayed. Stars don't do that. This is an unexpected thing, that these magi would follow a star, that the star rose seemingly in the west, and that this star then both stopped and stayed. The wise men, following the star that stopped and stayed and rose in the west, is part of God's upside-down economy. It's part of his economy that real men do ask for directions. And it's part of his economy that miracles like this, a star rising in the west and stopping and staying over one particular point, means that God uses the unexpected to point people to Jesus. God calls each of us to come to Jesus. And he does expect us to ask directions. Who is this Jesus? Where do I find him? And how do I worship him? Well, the fourth unexpected thing about the wise men that you may not have noticed before is that the wise men wanted to worship a baby. You would think that a wise person would seek out another wiser person, a more powerful person, someone with gravitas and meaning and experience of life to be their leader. But here they choose a newborn child lying in a stable. Of all the seemingly powerful gods that these men could have chosen to seek, they bow down to a toddler. But this too is part of God's upside down economy, that the greatest wisdom is to trust in a baby born in the backwater town of Bethlehem, lying originally in a stable. God uses the unexpected to point people to Jesus. Well, God calls each of us, sometimes in very unexpected ways. I don't know why you're here today. What called you to come to church this morning? Maybe it was a family tradition thing that you come to church on a Tuesday morning when it happens to be Christmas morning. But it's an opportunity here this morning to stop and think, gosh, maybe there's more to this story than I originally realised. Maybe the traditions of the Christmas trees and the carols and so forth have actually been blinding me to see the truth about who Jesus is. That is, God become man in such humble circumstances that it seems foolish to the world, but here the wise men sought him. And they bought him their talent, their treasure, and they took their time to seek and find him. God calls each of us to do the same, to come to Jesus, no matter where we're coming from, no matter what our history is, no matter what our background is, no matter what our persuasion is, to come and seek Jesus. Let me pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this King born in such humble circumstances. The world and even we might seem this is a foolish thing, but in your great economy, your upside down economy, you saw fit to make this the wisest thing of all, to follow this Jesus. Jesus not only as a baby, Jesus not only as a grown man pointing people to the Father and doing incredible miracles, but Jesus the one who died in our place, such that we can have a relationship with you, such that our sins are forgiven forever. Jesus, the one who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, is now seated beside you as our King and our Lord. Thank you, God, for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.